The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Beauvais. Taking care of business and working overtime. With market insights and so much more. Talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Money Talk program. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. We'll be here for a full hour as usual. We are 790, a station for talk and business. Again, our number is here, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. I'm told I don't do that enough, so getting after it out of the chute here. This is the Money Talk Show every evening at 5 p.m. Those of you who are relatively new to the program, and there's always that gang, welcome, of course. This program has been on the air for about 25 years, believe it or not, and we love doing it. I enjoy doing it. It's quite a process to go through on a day to come in here and try to offer things that will be helpful. That's the whole objective, right? Ideas and things that you might have missed. Watch out for this. Look out for that. You know, turn over all the rocks and in the world of personal finance. Tonight is tax night on the program. I have a nerdy side to me. I don't do my own tax return, though. I have a pretty complicated situation, self-employment and all that. So I have a super-duper CPA kind of a person that helps me out in that area. But taxes are an important part of planning. They're an important part of investing. And you have to understand a good part of taxes in order to do all of it correctly. The markets were mixed today, up a little, down a little. Let's leave it at that for tonight anyway. And I'm going to try to stay on the tax topic for the whole show and hopefully give you some good information and tips. But again, if you'd like to interrupt me with something that's more personal to you, then that would be fine as well, because listeners are number one here on the program. We do talk a lot about stocks and mutual funds and things of that nature, because these are the things that really reach or touch, you know, such a high percentage of you that might be listening. The first tax tip of tonight is a new and different one. It is a reflection of the world we live in today, and that is you do not want to be getting a tax refund. If you're getting every year a tax refund, stop doing that. Change your withholding and get the money in your paycheck every week and have a little refund or a little owe a little. $100 either side is fine. I haven't had a tax refund in 35 years. Every year at the end of the year, because of self-employment, it's hard to calculate until you get there. You always end up owing a little bit more. And that never bothered me at all. I mean, I planned for it, you know. But a tax refund at the end of the year is an interest-free loan to the government, number one. It's not smart or productive for you. When you're very, 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 very young, I understand a lot of people look at it as forced savings. I say, you know, don't do that. It's still not a good idea. And what's happening now is some of these brilliant hackers on the internet have figured out how to, you know, step in between you and I. You or I and the IRS. Now, can you believe this? They can get online, because remember we file a lot of these returns now, easy file, right, electronically, and they go in and they file your tax return. And get a refund. And there's been a few stories of this happening. Now, I do believe most of the folks that had that happen did eventually get it straightened up and they got their money back. But it took a year or two, I think. So especially if you have a large refund coming, I'd say, you know, go get it. If you haven't filed already, you should get on that right away. It really is a new risk, I guess you could call it, right? In addition to the other risks that we have to deal with in the area of finance. Taxes are a big thing, you know. Our taxes probably are relatively moderate right now. If you look back in history, there have been times during wars and other bad times when taxes could be quite a bit higher than they are right now. And that's why I anticipate, my advice is to those of you who feel like you're paying a lot in taxes now, that you're going to pay more later. And I'm planning on paying more taxes later than I am now. Two reasons: that we have a tremendous amount of debt. My personal opinion is that the tax revenue to this nation should be plenty to handle everything we need to do. Shouldn't need to raise taxes on anybody. But probably that will happen, And again, I'm trying to keep my brain on what is likely to occur versus what I would like to see happen, you know. So I think if you're already paying a good income tax, it means you're doing well here in America, you know, and good for you. And so I just think in the future, that's where it's going to come from. It's going to come from those who have enough that they can give up a little bit more, or at least in the opinion of others, they can give up a little more. And that'll probably how it goes, just because that's just the way it usually goes. That's all. And the debt is double what it was 8 years ago. That's a pretty alarming rate to have an increase in the debt in 8 years, of a doubling of it about into the, you know, the such a number now. It's hard. We don't even talk about it. It's hard for you and I to even even comprehend that type of number. So I think it's wise if you're in a pretty good tax bracket now. It means you're making some money, probably peaking later in life, you know, with a lot of gray hair to go with it and aches and pains and a bad hip and an artificial knee. This is part of the, you know, this silly, you know, us versus them, people with money versus people with no money. Let me tell you who doesn't have the money, young people. Let me tell you who has the money, old people. That's how it works, and it works that way for every generation. And if you live to be 60 and you become old and you haven't saved anything, that's, you know, that's kind of on you to some extent. We all have periods in time when it's hard to save, and I had them too. Young family, three children, you know, how homes to pay for. I understand all that. I've been through all that. But you can't get to age 60. And say you lived the entire life and didn't save a nickel, because that's going to create terrible problems for you. There are programs today in our government that taxpayers fund to help, you know, anyone that's in need, and I'm all for that. But I think any one of us would rather be self-reliant. I mean, I have worked with hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of different people in my career over 35 years, and I never met one yet that didn't say to me, one of my important goals is to not to be a burden to my children. And in order to not be a burden to your children, you got to have some financial sense, you know, about you. So it's hard to do. We had a recent decrease in gas prices. Some of the young families out there can, if you really want to be diligent, this is a good Dave Ramsey kind of an idea. You know, I love Dave Ramsey and believe very much in the things that he says. Try to evaluate what you're saving in gas right now. You may have two professionals on the road. You may have one of the members of the family might be a contractor and uses a vehicle for work. And with these prices lower in gas, in fuel, figure out what you saved and then try to put it aside. You know, it was a bill you had last year. This is a real smart way to handle your psychology about money. Folks that talk like that, I find, usually do very well in the long run, meaning they don't want anything to be wasted. If you suddenly pay your car off and it was $500 a month, it shouldn't have been in the first place, but if it was, you know, you should be able to save that $500 a month. If you could pay the bill, you could pay the darn bill, then you should be able to save it once the bill's gone, right? And that's a matter of discipline. And for all of us, if we're not disciplined like that with our decisions, money's in a budgetary way will just kind of bleed away. And it'd be very sad to have an advantage and then look back on it in a few years and say, where is it? Where is it? And believe it or not, I won't go into details, but I have met with a few people over 35 years who won lotteries, and it is true that most of them have a lot of problems after that. Folks that they know tend to immediately think they're going to share it all, and sometimes they don't, and people don't like that, I guess. And a lot of them really end up kind of broke in the end because they feel that they have enough money that they just can't do anything wrong, and that's never true. You can run any ship aground if you go close enough to the rocks, I guess. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talking business, and this is the Money Talk Show every evening at 5 p.m. Monday evening, Don Soa. Tuesday evening, Don and his daughter, Donna Grace, out on maternity leave at the moment. And Wednesday evening, of course, I'm here. And now my son Nathan joins me on Wednesday evening to help me with financial history here in our country, even in the world. We've had a few fascinating shows on gold. We've talked about oil, and we talked about the money behind the Newport mansions. It was all very, very, very fascinating. Those of you who are interested in finance, studying history is very important because the lessons and the things that occur really are somewhat repetitive. I have a chart on the wall in my office of the S&P 500 for like 68 years, and I only point to it with clients from a distance. They're 10, 15 feet away from it, but it's very large. And I just glance at that for a split second. What does it tell you? They go, yeah, yeah, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. It's pretty easy to see that, and it's very easy to notice also that in the 12 market corrections in 68 years, the stock market never failed to come all the way back up, not one time. Yet every time we have that occur, there's somebody, and not just somebody, there's a lot of voices in the media who say it's different this time, it won't come back up. We heard it stronger than ever last time. And, of course, they were wrong again. The market did fully recover. Markets will do that, and they will move to high ground because of especially in a country like here in America, or free nations, and countries that aren't really free tend to not have free stock markets like we have. But free people constantly trying to improve their circumstances, and the industries that lead at each high point in the cycle are different. In the 80s, it was led by technology, in the 80s, 90s, you know. And then there are times when healthcare leads the way, right, like the last few years. And this is why it's hard to comprehend that the market can always go to new higher ground. But I believe that it can. It always has in the past. Don't overdo it. You don't want to have too much of a ratio of this stuff. It's like the hot pepper, you know, in your chili. But how hot do you want it is the question. And if you're talking with professional financial people, try to find someone who will help you understand things in a simple way. And what a simple way for you to communicate to them what risk level you're comfortable with, just tell them whether you want right lane, middle lane, or left lane, like a highway. It's not really that complicated. And we talk about, when you're very young, tend to choose the left lane faster, in and out. You know, I'm 56 years old. I'm a middle lane guy now. Someday I'll be on the right lane, and there'll be a time, like some people that I know in my family that are older, that I love dearly, don't want to drive on the highway at all. And so there are also times maybe at later life when you shouldn't have any stocks in your portfolio at all. But I think most of us, up until maybe 80s or so, need to have them in there for the long-term counterbalance that they provide, bonds and commodities and things of that nature. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. We're here every afternoon at 5 p.m. You can reach us for the full hour, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. This is tax night. I've probably got a bunch of frowns on that one. The more you know about taxes, the less you can pay. Knowledge is power. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing patriotic about paying any more tax than you have to legally. So it's okay to want to pay less. That's okay, as long as it's done legally and properly, of course. So there's a lot of issues here with tax. We talked about in the beginning of the program about the hacking problem. You don't want your tax return refund hanging out there. You Seinfeld fans, it's like a matzo ball, big matzo ball hanging out there. And these hackers are so smart, these folks. They figure out how to figure out who's got a refund coming and just focus on those and the bigger ones. So you definitely don't want to be getting a big tax refund. Smaller one, not so much of a risk, you know. What do you think about a flat tax? I think that's just a fascinating concept. If we have a flat tax, let's say it was 15%. If you make 10 times what I make, you pay 10 times what I pay. Sounds very proportionate. Sounds very balanced. Sounds very good. Most of you listening right now, if you look at your actual tax rate, and you do that by taking your tax return, and you take your actual federal taxes paid total, that would be all your withholding for the year plus anything else you had to pay, or your all your withholding for the year federal minus your refund divided by your gross income. And most people are very surprised that they're 10 to 12%, maybe up to 15. If you're at 20%, you're doing well. You got some pretty good math on your tax return. And so these are the rates that you actually pay. Now, we know that the tax rates are higher than that, Steve. So how can that be? Well, you don't pay taxes on every dollar. You get personal exemptions, $6,300 now. Personal exemption, no tax on the first $6,300. And so taxes are complicated. You have to have income taxes to run a nation. Every now and then we hear seminars or things on the internet about how to pay zero tax. I mean, I think that's just silly to think that. how are we going to pay our teachers? How are we going to pay our policemen? just so silly. But complete legal and proper reduction of your income taxes by knowing what the rules are is a good thing. Now, for 2016, the limits haven't changed too much as far as elective deferrals for like 401ks, 403bs, and 457 plans is $18,000 for 2016, same as last year. Catch-up provision for those over age 50, an additional $6,000. So that's $2,000 a month you can put away after age 50. And I will tell you, and I've heard this from so many people, clients, friends, colleagues, so many people say that the majority of what they have at age 65, they saved after age 50. And that makes good sense. You know, by that point, even if your debts aren't gone, they're usually proportionately small to your income. When you're younger, they're proportionally, you know, very, very high. And so taxes are a big bite into what we do, although it really is a very reasonable tax rate when you look around the world. And me being, of course, being a patriot, I love my country, I love America. It doesn't mean there aren't other nice nations. You know, we hear the conversations about all this stuff in the world, and it seems like everybody thinks you got to be a one end of the swing or the other. You know, doesn't mean there isn't other good ones, and some other countries do things a little bit better, and it's great to learn and share. So, check out the news that's available today on the internet about other nations of the world and what they're doing, and use that to decide who you're going to vote for in the next coming election. What other countries would you like to mimic? You know, and depending on all of us, we all have a little different desires, a little different viewpoints. I kind of like the old-fashioned, you know, a duke-it-out, you know, risk-taker kind of a mentality. That's how I've been all my life. But not everybody can be like that, you know. So I would think a nation that allows for a variety of ways to get it done, and I think we sort of have that right now, is a good thing to do. Hey, what about audits? Once in 100 years is the likelihood of you feel folks that are listening right now, one out of a hundred get audited once in 100 years, actually. And so mostly once in a lifetime, really, for average folks. If your income is pretty high, it's actually double that. And so they do focus on people who have higher income and audit them about twice as often. And that's because that's where they're going to get the revenue from, right? Makes sense. So do your taxes very diligently. Keep good records. Never, ever, 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 ever falsify anything on a tax return. Just understand what's allowed. That's all. If you're doing it yourself, then do the research and the reading yourself. A lot of these modern softwares, like TurboTax, they cover almost everything in there. You know, I think if you've got a complex situation, a small business, a bunch of rental properties, I think you need a human being to sit down with you once a year and talk about your taxes. That's just my own personal viewpoint on that. In 1913, federal income tax was 1% on the amount over $20,000. First, like $20,000 was at 0.5%. So it's very, 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 very small amount of tax back then. You know, the nation was small, and as we grow, these things have to be paid for. So I've never been a person who pounds the table over paying no tax or that taxes are wrong. I mean, that's silly. It might have been a time when we could function that way, but I don't see how any modern nation today could function without some sort of tax base. Hey, if you're approaching age 70 years old or 70 and a half, there's a rule for your IRAs that says you must begin to take money out when you're 70 and a half. The first year you hit that age, it's about 3.65% of your account balance, and it gets bigger every year. The amount goes up. The intention of the IRS is to force those dollars back through your tax return so they can tax it and get their, you know, their chunk of their pound of flesh, as they say, you know. Now, if you're actively employed after age 70 and you have a 401k plan, you do not have to take withdrawals out of that. And Roth IRAs have no mandatory withdrawals for the original owner of the account. If you're a beneficiary and inherit a Roth IRA, there are, surprisingly to many folks, including me, there are requirements to distribute money if you inherit a Roth IRA. Now, why would that be? That was a peculiar little law. I believe that law is there to prevent anyone from building up a real big Roth IRA and then leaving it to like 3-4 generations where it could balloon up into millions and all tax-free. I don't think the government liked that idea. It wasn't quite what they intended with it. So if you inherit a Roth IRA, don't make the mistake that I made, and that was that to think that there's no distribution requirements. There aren't for you if you're the person to put the money in. But if you inherit one of these things from someone, it's not taxable, the money, when it comes out, but you must withdraw it like within 5 years, or you can do a stretch over your life expectancy. There's a few choices how to handle it. But they don't want it to balloon up And over two or three, four generations, something like that could compound at quite an alarming rate. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. Hey, the Dave Ramsey Show is such a wonderful, positive influence on the younger group. The teachings of Dave Ramsey about how to handle debt and things is some of the best, most valuable things I've heard in a long time. And I will say, to encourage the younger folks who are usually dealing with those type of issues that he tends to talk about a lot, debts and problems like that. He's just terrific, and I think that man has done as much good to help young people develop good skills and good habits with money than anyone I've ever heard before. So I'm a very big disciple of the Dave Ramsey method. A little note tonight on that. Every now and then you get the question, should I take money out of my retirement account to pay off a loan? I would say absolutely not, because it's going to be fully taxable, so you don't pay a 30% income tax just to pay off a 5% interest rate. That's silly. But if you have money that's not IRA and it will not be fully taxed to take it out, then I would strongly consider it more times than not. Keep in mind that investments are not guaranteed, but debt is. You will pay it back no matter what. I mean, there's ways of getting out of that, too, but you don't want to get there in life where you're filing bankruptcy or anything like that, because that's not a good life for you. So, anyway, investments are not guaranteed at all, and debt is. Every now and then you'll hear people talk about refinancing their house. If someone came to see me in my office and said they were going to refinance their house and wanted to open an account with that money, I would refuse to open the account. I would not get involved in any way, shape, or form. And you don't want an advisor who doesn't believe in what you're doing. I actually had a family member once tell me he was at 56 years old, was going to refinance his house, and wanted to invest $250,000 in gold. And he said he'd be calling me soon, and I said, please don't. And he was shocked. He couldn't believe it that a financial guy would say no to some business. I tried to explain to him the silliness of his thoughts. Gold at that time was about $1,600 an ounce. And you just don't put that much money, at that age in any one thing. It's $1,100 now, so it's down 35-40% since then. Investing is like the weather, folks. Whatever you hear just recently did very, very well, that's almost never going to be the place to put the new dollars, because that is already high in price. That's why it's got good investment numbers. It's expanded. It's grown. And we have to look for the seeds. We have to look for the things that are lower in value. And it's not easy, of course, but the other method will not work too well, I assure you. So please remember that investments are not guaranteed. Even when you're told they are, I don't buy it. But you know that story. You heard that from me before. And, debt really is usually guaranteed. If you want to, have a good credit rating and end up at the end of your life in a good position, then you wouldn't want to try to get out of paying anything like that that was legit. So, a little note on insurance for this evening, because it's so important. Probably 85 to at least, maybe even higher than that. But I can't even believe it. I'm still saying this after 25 years. Of the people that are listening right now to this program, and you're driving in your car, many of you, do not have anywhere near enough liability insurance. Please, this weekend, take out your car insurance policy and the sheet that lists all your coverages. And right under one of the first listings on that page will be a coverage. It'll say per person, and it'll say per accident. And 90% of you listening have $100,000 per person, $300,000 per accident. So if you're in an accident with someone, and after $100,000 is paid, it's on you. Now, folks, this isn't 1953. There are people flying around you everywhere that earn that in a year. It's not the majority of people. And then many people you could end up in a conflict with or an accident with could earn much, much more than that. And therefore, the liability is much larger than you think. If you have a home to lose, if you have monies to lose, investments, 401k plans, things of that nature, please talk to your car insurance people. Don't call me. Don't call me. I don't get involved in that stuff. It's too analytical for me. But anyway, you contact the company that you have your homeowners with, and they're usually the ones that write those policies. They'll require you to raise the limits of your current coverage, like from 100, like I said, to 300, and then buy the $1 million on top of it. This whole thing might end up costing you $300 a year. You know, if you're a couple with income of $150 and a nice home and 401k plans, being sued is one of the largest risks, financial risks anyway, that you have today. And driving an automobile is much more dangerous than any of us really realize until something happens, you know, and hopefully it won't. So take a look at your automobile coverage. This is a real risk. Majority of people in my 35 years in the office, when I ask them about this, the ones that say, yes, I have the umbrella, I say, how do you know that? And they said, from listening to you on the Money Talk show for 15 years. I said, well, thank you for listening. But I run into people outside of that little circle, you know, very often who tell me, and people, very successful people. I love asking those folks that question. And they also are very surprised, often usually don't know what the coverage is. And I say, well, I think this is probably what you have, unless you requested something different. So what happens is in the attempt to save money on premiums, when we all shop around for car insurance, the agents know we're shopping the lowest price, so they're in the competition mode anyway. Everybody's using the lowest coverages legally possible. You see, but you don't want those if you have anything to lose. So make sure that you get a quote from your agent to raise your liability coverage quite a bit, up to $1 million or more. If you don't already have higher deductibles, that's a good way to pay for it. When I was younger in the field, I used to get more involved with this sort of thing, and I would often ask people to just get a quote for, you know, the next deductible up and the umbrella, and oftentimes the higher deductible would save enough premium dollars to pay for the extra liability insurance. Because if you think about it with a car, car insurance isn't about the car. Even if you're young and don't have the money, if you wreck the car, I assure you somehow, somewhere you can get another car. You know, but if you get sued, a judgment against you for $100,000 and get your paycheck attached for 14 years, that's just a disastrous situation to fall into. So we don't want to see that happen to anybody. This type of coverage is very inexpensive. It's like young people buying life insurance. You know, the risk isn't really around the corner, so it's really not that expensive. I would think that $20 or $30 a month to protect what you've worked hard for would be a wise move. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. We're kind of staying on taxes mostly tonight. I'm ADD. I'm not too good at not wandering. Anyway, taxes are, you know, it's a big issue, and a lot of you are in the midst of it right now. I am as well. I'm waiting for my own 1099 from my investment company. It could be as late as March 15th. This year. And that's usually not the brokerage companies. That's usually some company they're waiting for, because they gather information from several companies that I have investments with and then report it to me on 1-1099 through a brokerage account. So many times it's got nothing to do with the brokerage company. They're not getting the information on time in order to forward it to you. So before we, you know, get too upset about it, let's make sure we find out what's going on there. It's not a disaster to amend your tax return. It usually will cost something. So you want to hold back until you have it. Don't charge forward. Don't estimate it unless there's a reason. Wait until you actually have the hard number in order to do the calculation correctly. You know, we talk a lot about savings. This is kind of an insurance related topic, because if you have adequate savings, and that would be, you know, emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of what your bill paying is. So typical American household might be $3,000 a month. You know, so $9,000, $18,000, $15,000, somewhere in that range, depending on your stability of your employment, that sort of thing. But a good savings account will allow you to run these higher deductibles on your insurance policies, which saves you money over the long run. And if you do that for 10 or 15 years, it really adds up. It also allows you to not buy retail warranties. They are the biggest ripoff in the world. You know, you buy like a $40 item somewhere and they want to sell you an extended warranty for that. It's usually 70 to 80% commission of the person who's offering it to you. Now, I don't begrudge this young person to make the money. I don't blame them for offering it or anything like that. I'm just telling you, if you're buying something like that that has 70% commission built into it, it's not a good value for you at all. So unless you're going to use something, you know, in a specialized way, an electronic item that's expensive and you're going to have it around water, you know, if you could get some kind of coverage on it for water damage, that might make sense. But in generally speaking, and Dave Ramsey does a lot of talk on this one too, insurance, think about it, folks, insurance in general, and yeah, I do kind of not like insurance, you know, in some ways, but it's important to have. An old friend of mine who was an insurance guy once said to me, you don't not like insurance, you don't like paying for it. I said, yeah, okay, yeah, that's good, that's clever, I like that. It's absolutely true, and I'm glad that I had life insurance. I still do, but had a lot of it when my children were young. If anything had happened, you know, they can continue on. It's a very important thing for family people to have. But on the flip side there, you know, later on in life, if you've been diligent in your saving and you have adequate savings and little to no debt, you may no longer need life insurance. And life insurance is not a good investment. There are people that do it all day that will tell you it is. I don't never like that idea. I don't think it's automatically a horrible investment, but I just don't think it's the best choice myself for that. I'm just a traditionalist in that insurance should be insurance, and I don't like mixing products that mix life insurance with investments. They get cloudy, very expensive, hard to assess or evaluate the cost of things due to the complex nature of it. So in general, I think it's a good idea to keep your investments with investment folks and banks. You know, don't get your mortgage from your financial advisor. I think that's not a good idea. Only because, I'm the financial advisor, and I don't know enough about mortgages to recommend to be the final word for you. When I go get if I need a mortgage tomorrow, I'm going to look for somebody to give me advice on what the current market is. What are the rates like now? What's the application process like? You know, I may not have taken out a mortgage for 10 years or longer. And so, therefore, you always need a little input on what's current right now in the world, you know, on the topic that you're dealing with. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790. We are your station for talk and business. Our numbers are 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. I'm Steve Bove, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner. Told that we don't say that often enough either. And that just means that we, like most professionals today in the financial world, believe that it is wise and in your best interest to have whoever's giving you advice on anything about your financial life to really know a lot about you. And that's that's kind of ambiguous, a lot. You don't need to, if you're talking about insurance, you don't need to necessarily discuss 401k plans, but you do need to discuss other insurances you might have with the person that you're talking about buying a new policy from. You may be overlapping things. You may be spending money you don't have to spend. So be diligent in these decisions. They can be crucial in the long run of life. Do not borrow to invest under any circumstances. Surely not. Don't use your home. I wouldn't even use your home to pay off a car. You know, if the world goes crazy and two people both lost their jobs and you have a car loan, you tell the bank to come get the car. If you bought the car with the house, you come get the house, right? You know, so don't do that. It's not worth the savings. The dollars involved there are usually pretty small difference between the tax-deductible mortgage and the non-deductible car loan. But I'd have never thought ever that it was wise to do that. During the craze of borrowing and investing, which was crazy, not a wise thing to do, many people, not so much now, but this is 10, 12 years, 15 years ago, so many people asked about doing it. You know, when the stock market has a really good period, that's when people kind of get a little tempted to do something like that. But borrowing money to invest is, in my opinion, always a bad idea. Something to be left only to those who can afford big losses and have experience doing it. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, and we'll be right back. Hey, will you be in a lower tax bracket when you retire? This is something that we hear very often, and it can be true. For some people, it will be true. But for the majority of us today, it will not be true. Matter of fact, it's very, very much so that's the case. And why is that? Well, because years ago when that adage first started coming around, we first started hearing that, there were many, many, many brackets, and they were narrow. So a small reduction in your income would change your bracket. And almost always when you retire, your income goes down a little bit, or down some, maybe 25%. Most of us are planning today to have, for moderate income families, you know, 50 to 75% of what they're used to in retirement. But the way these things work is the brackets now are pretty wide and pretty broad. Let's take a look at 2016, married filing jointly. Look at this bracket, $91,000 to $190,000. That means if a couple was making $187,000 and then retired and their income got cut in half, they're still in the same tax bracket. Now, you can cross these lines, but most of us don't today. you end up, most of us, I believe, will retire in a very similar tax situation that we had when we were working. Of course, there are always exceptions to these things because there's so many different ways to get it done, as they say in the financial world. There's a new tax out, believe it or not. You didn't hear anything about this. These are sneaky ones. For those people who are fortunate enough to have a modified adjusted gross income over $250,000 per year, that's a small group, less than 1% of the population, an additional 3.8% tax on investment income. Just investment income it's targeting. Fascinating, huh? Hey, if you're in the 10 or 15% federal tax bracket, and that's a lot of folks married filing jointly with incomes up to about $75,000, you can get zero tax on long-term capital gains or specialized dividends. See your tax expert about that one. 2016 max IRA, $5,500 plus a $1,000 catch-up provision. Roth IRAs, this is a fascinating, most people are shocked by this one. What is the maximum annual income a couple can have and still do a maximum Roth contributions? It's $184,000. That's high. That covers a lot of us in there. Almost everybody that's in this conversation, including me, it could probably fit nicely into that one. Again, lower bracket in retirement, not likely to be, but you got to take a look at, you know, where you are. If you were fortunate enough, you know, the last 3 years before retirement to really hit some home runs, well, then that could happen. But if you look at your tax bracket, the 10 years prior to retirement, and then what you'll be in retirement, most people are going to be in a pretty similar bracket. So this is why I think that you really have to look at your own circumstances today. You know, these standardized things that we hear sometimes that this is the way to do it, that's the way to do it, or, you know, everyone does this or everyone does that. It's pretty dangerous. There's a lot of philosophy in good financial decision-making, and depending on what your philosophy is about your money, your life, you know, I have clients who the majority say about their inheritance to children that as long as they're healthy and employed and doing well, that they're welcome to whatever's left, but we plan on enjoying it, you know, my husband and I. That's usually what I hear. But occasionally, I hear the opposite. And people come to me, and they are very, 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 very concerned that they leave any less than what they have when they retire. So they want to live off, you know, the 3 or 4% dividend only and preserve the principal for the next generation. If you can do that, you did a heck of a job planning your retirement. I'll tell you that right now. And I have a good handful of folks that can do that. And it's a rare group. You have to have been very diligent on saving. You have to have been very not a big borrower. Big borrowing over time really drains you, really draws a lot of if you ever figure out over a lifetime, over 40 years, what we pay in interest, cars, credit cards, mortgages, add it all up, it is quite a bit. So you really have to be diligent about it. Most financial disasters don't happen in a cataclysmic event. Seldom does that happen. It's usually a drifting effect over time. I often compare it to economics, to physical fitness and things of that nature. You know, you don't gain 100 pounds in a week. That takes a long time to happen. So most of the things in life that can cause us problems, at least in the world of finance, are usually a drifting thing over time, continuing on doing the same things, I guess, as they say, expecting a different result is not usually going to work out too well. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, a station for talk and business. I want to thank you for joining us for 25 years in the local market here. We've been around a few different stations. Of course, we're at our favorite station right now. AM 790 is your station for talk and business. And again, Monday evening, Don Sowa, the guy that started it all, one of the absolute first financial people in America to have the guts to take this on and do something like this. I remember when he was telling me that he was going to take it on and do it. It was very, very exciting. And within a year and a half or so, I was joining him as a guest. And then we got together and formulated a business together. And it's the Sowa Financial Group in Lincoln, for those of you that don't know. We don't talk about our company much. We don't want the program to be about us. We always felt the weightlifting part of this show, meaning you got to do your homework to get in here and try to offer some information, you know. That is a good thing. I always looked at it like a personal trainer, you know. I don't want to read another 2 hours. Well, you know, the trainer says, get up there and do those push-ups. You know, and so this show, you can't walk in here blind and not have some sense of what's going on. Otherwise, you probably won't be here for very long, I would think. So it's a good thing. It's a good, healthy kind of pressure that keeps us all knowing that at the end of the day, we have to be able to deliver something that we hope is of value to you all. So again, thank you for joining us for about 20 years or longer, and every evening at 5 p.m. Tuesday evening, my favorite show. It's my night off. Don and his daughter, Donna Grace, two generations of top financial advisors here in Rhode Island. Wednesdays and Fridays are my nights, and of course, Wednesday night, just recently starting in January, you've probably noticed a new voice. A deep one like mine. That's my oldest child, Nathan, who's my planning assistant now in the office and helping me on the show. He's like me, fascinated by history, and financial history is important to look at and study if you're going to be making financial decisions, especially if you're going to be making financial decisions for others on their behalf. History does tend to repeat itself, of course, not always every single time, but it's an overwhelming amount of things, if you've studied it as long as we have, that there are many, many, many repetitive things in the financial cycle of things that is very helpful to be keen and aware of. This is Steve Bovee on the Money Talk Show on Friday night. Thank you again for joining us all week here on the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Hope you have a good, safe evening. Be careful driving out there. And tune in on Monday night, of course, for Don Sower right here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. Yeah, the beat is around, the sack on the back, moving careful and slow. It's money that matters, you hear what I say. It's money that matters.